2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for your wonderful, wonderful grace, your mercy, your love for us. And Father, I'm thankful for the Bible, the Word of God today. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of preaching. And Lord, help it to be a good day that would honor you as the Word of God goes forward. And Lord, we will allow it to do what needs to be done in our hearts today. And then we'll always remember to thank you and praise you. And Lord, should there be any here without Jesus, doesn't know him as personal Savior, we pray, Father, this will be the day when they're born again into your family. They become a Christian. And Father, we'll thank you for that. Now you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've chosen a text this morning, and probably most folk out there say, Brother Ross, I don't know where you're going to get a Mother's Day message out of that. And I'm not real sure myself. This morning I'm not going to probably bring what we would call a traditional Mother's Day message, but I am going to bring a message that'll help every mother in here. And that's my desire. And I'm going to bring you a message here out of this portion of Scripture. It's going to be a little bit wound around just my personal testimony as far as me being saved. The Apostle Paul here was in Rome in prison writing this, and as you go on down through these scriptures, it's amazing. He was writing the, more than likely, we believe, the last book that he would be used to write. And here he is facing death. And as I look at that, I find the Apostle Paul sentenced to death, but he wasn't afraid of death. And he wasn't afraid to face eternity. Now, he was giving Timothy some charge here concerning what he should do and what he should continue to do. And he told Timothy, he said, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He told Timothy, he said, you just preach the word, you be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, he said, Timothy, just keep on preaching the word. That's good instructions, don't you think? That's a good thing to do. Just keep on preaching the word. Amen? Now, one man said when he talking about preaching to people, he said the job of the preacher is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I think that's probably some truth to that. I think there's some today that needs afflicted. They've gotten too comfortable. Amen. In their salvation. So if I afflict you a little bit this morning, it's all right. That's my job. But on the other hand, if I comfort you, that'll be all right too. Amen. The Word of God will do that for you. And then he tells him, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This we see today prevalent. I think it's seen it in Paul's day too. But he said, he just simply told them, he said that they'll get comfortable. They don't want to endure sound doctrine. And he says they'll, after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers who will tickle their ears. Now that's what the Apostle Paul's saying. That's happening today. He says also, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And then in verse number 6, he says, but I am now ready to be offered. And he says, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. And so Apostle Paul was simply saying to Timothy here and to us as we read the Word of God, my time to die has come, and I'm not afraid. Now, I thought of that, and that's the way I try to do Scripture, and I try to put myself sometimes in the same situation that the man who's writing this is in, if I can. So I asked myself, Brother Ross, what if tomorrow someone came to you, you went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you've got 2 weeks to live. How would I handle that? Or maybe I'm laying in a hospital bed, and the doctor leans over my bed and says to me, Pastor Ross, there's not a thing else we can do for you. It's all over. It ain't going to be very long. You're going to go on. Now, I ask myself, how would I handle it? What would I say? And I wrote down some things that I just want you to know. Mamas, it'll help you, but it'll help everybody else in here too. I wrote down some things why I believe that I could face death unafraid. Now, I didn't say there wouldn't be some anxieties, some thoughts about maybe that I didn't get everything done that I wanted to get done, some concerns about leaving those whom I love so much. I think all of those things would go through my mind, I'm sure, but Apostle Paul wasn't talking about those things. He was just simply saying, the time of my departure is at hand. He looked back and he said he had fought the good fight, kept the faith, finished the faith, He'd done all these things. And he said, I'm ready. So again, I asked myself, what is it that makes me so assured that I could look and say, if that time come to me, it's okay. And I'm ready. And here was the first one. I wrote down, first of all, because my sins are gone. I don't have any worry or concern in facing God Almighty. I am not afraid. Now, I'm talking about I have a good fear of God, the kind we ought to have, but as far as my sins is concerned, I do not fear facing God. You see, Adam and Eve, when they ran in the Garden of Eden and hid themselves, the reason they did was because they had just sinned. Their sin was upon them. And they were afraid. That's what makes people afraid of God, is because of your sin. You see, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but I don't have to worry about any sin being put to my charge. It's an impossibility for God to put any sin to my charge as far as it would affect my salvation, because Jesus has already paid it. Every bit of it. No, not this fellow. I didn't pay it. Oh, no. I'd be in hell today if I got what I deserve. But Jesus has already paid it. And my sin is gone. That's what he said in 1 John. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Now, Bob Ross, if he had to face death today or tomorrow, whenever it might be, I could say, my sins are forgiven for his name's sake. They're gone. That's why he said over in the book of Isaiah that we could come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, Bob Ross does not have to worry about those sins because Jesus paid for them, has wiped the slate clean. So I can face God Almighty, I'm talking about salvation, I can face God Almighty knowing my sins are absolutely gone. That's what happens when you get saved. Amen? The next thing I wrote down was, I'm not afraid to die because of the experience I've had. The blind man, back in John the 9th chapter, he said this, I once was blind, but now I see. I too once was blind, but now I see. Back in 1966, a little old Baptist church called Rock Run Baptist Church, over on the other side, north of Brazil, Indiana, this preacher, wasn't a preacher then, invited Jesus Christ into his heart and asked forgiveness of his sin. And because of that, I know without any shadow of a doubt, yes, I was blind, there's no doubt about it, but now I see. And I also know, according to the Scripture, that I've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. And so I do not have to worry. You see, I know there was a time when I'm born again. 1966, I know where the place was. I could take you to that same church. I could walk you into that church, although they've rearranged it. I could take you probably within 3 or 4 foot where I knelt at an altar and asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. I'll never forget that. Now, brother, I want you to understand something. Brother Ross was not a real outgoing, emotional person. Some people are. I'm not. I knelt at that altar. My preacher, Brother Evans, knelt there beside me, took the Scriptures, and showed me how to be saved. I'd already heard it in a message. There was an evangelist there preaching. I'd already heard it from him more than once, but he showed me how to be saved. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now, I did not get up and run around the church. It's okay if a person wanted to do that. That's fine. But I did not. In fact, I did not get up and I did not even cry. I stood there in front of the church and said, I just got saved. I just asked Christ to save me. Because of that, I don't fear facing God. And if the Lord saw to it today to take my life, I would not fear because of my sins in facing God. I would believe that I'll look on my life and say, I sure wish I'd have done a lot more. I do believe I'll do that. But as far as my sins, I don't have to worry about them. Now, I don't know whether you're getting it or not, but folks, that's a wonderful thing. Mothers, I don't know whether you're getting it or not, but that's a wonderful thing. To be able to live life knowing that your sins are gone, absolutely wiped clean. And you don't have to worry about dying. Not only that, I wrote down thirdly, I'm not afraid to die because of the foundation I stand on. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The rock or any other church, there's only one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. It isn't the people, it isn't the preacher, it isn't the deacons, it isn't the teachers, it's Jesus. That's the foundation that any church must be built on. That's the foundation that my salvation stands on. Over in Matthew, the 7th chapter, you remember the story. We're not going to go back there and read that, but you remember the story about them building on the sand and building on the rock. You remember that the rain came and the winds came and the floods came and tested those foundations and tested those buildings. Those that was built on the sand simply was destroyed. But those that was built on rocks, on the rock, was absolutely secure and steadfast. You go and you look out in Oklahoma and some of them states out there, and we see these tornadoes that came through there, devastating things. Must have been awesome to have to go through something like that. They said on the news, 318 mile an hour winds was recorded. Whew, can't imagine it. Ripped those homes apart. Nothing could withstand something like that. But thank God there's not a wind alive or present today that can blow away my salvation. I'm on the rock. Jesus Christ is my rock of my salvation. And when you stand on the rock, you don't have to worry about the winds or the rains or the floods. It cannot be destroyed. Amen. Say, Brother Ross, are you afraid to die? No, I'm not afraid to face God with my salvation since I'm saved, because I'm on the right foundation. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm standing on Christ. He's the only foundation there is that you can stand on and know for sure that you're not afraid to face God in the day that you die. For he is the foundation. Over in Psalms, he said, lifted me up out of a miry pit and set my feet up on a rock and established my goings. That rock is Jesus. Amen. And there isn't any other foundation you can stand on. Buddha will flood away. Jehovah Witness, who's standing on their foundation instead of Jesus, will flood away. Folks, I'm not just picking on them. I'm just telling you, you can't stand on anything but Jesus. And the Baptists that are not standing on Jesus will be washed away. But you get your feet on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and it cannot be washed away. So you say, Brother Ross, are you afraid to die? No, because I'm on the right foundation. Yeah, I might have anxieties, but I'm not afraid to die. Amen? I'm on the right foundation. Not only that, I'm not afraid to die because of the promises of Jesus Christ. He said, lo, I am with you always. Now that did not mean when you're low, he's with you. Only. That's what you heard that colored preacher said. He wasn't going to ever fly in the airplane. Because he said, Jesus said, lo, I with you always. He said, I'm not going to get in one of those airplanes. Amen. But we know what that means. We know that Jesus is simply going to be with me always. Now that means he's always with me. Day to day, he's with me right now. He'll be with me tomorrow if he gives me that to live. He'll be with me next week. He'll be with me next month. He'll be with me next year, however long he gives me. And he'll be with me in my death. Can't beat it. He said, I'll be with you always. Now, God doesn't lie. Jesus doesn't lie. He said, I'll always be with you. Amen. So I'm not afraid to die. How about mamas? Isn't it wonderful to have that security? Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to just have that security and that sweet peace that you can spread to your family and spread to your children? And oh, it's not that we're asking to die, but if God should call, it's okay. Amen? You know, I remember that Jesus told me in his word, he was talking to me. He's talking to you too. He's talking to me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm not only going to be with you in your death. He said, I'm going to have a place prepared for you up there. And I'll come again and receive you unto myself that you may be where I am. I'm going to go with him. Why should I be afraid to die? From the presence of this earth into the presence of Jesus Christ forever, eternity. Because of that, I'm not afraid to die. That's the promises of God. God cannot break his promise. Now, you don't serve a God that breaks promises. You understand me? Right. No, no, no. He never has broke a promise. And when he said that he would always be with us, he will. When he said he went to prepare a place for you, he's preparing a place for you. No doubt about it. When he said he's coming again to get us, he's doing it. Why? He don't break promises. So I'm simply saying to you folks, I don't worry about death when it comes to salvation concern, because I know the promise of God. I know the book. I know what it says. And he cannot break that promise. Not only that, I also am not afraid to die because of the testimonies of those who have went on before me. I want you to go over with me to the book of Philippians. First chapter. Apostle Paul, as we've been reading here, and we're going to go back to that scriptures in just a few moments, but the Apostle Paul here in the book of Philippians said something mighty wonderful. First chapter, verse number 21. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now folks, when you understand that and you just read that simple truth, you know what he's saying is, he said, you know what? To die would be gain. It may not be something we wish to do today, but God said, you know what? Why not? It's gain. It's better than what you have here. And he says in verse 22, he says, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." What a truth. The Apostle Paul, and I believe he's one of the finest Christians presented to us in the Bible, and only because he had a great God was he a great Christian. But he was a great Christian. And here he is saying, you know, I'm kind of between things here. He says, I just soon, you know, go on to be with the Lord. I know I need to stay and I need to help you and I need to do all this. But you know what? It'd just be better to just go on. Now, if I know that I have a better place waiting for me, why would I be afraid to die? Now, folks, don't get your emotions mixed up with the fact you want to stick around for your family. You want got things you want to do. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody here probably has those feelings. I'd like to live a little longer, and I've got things I could do, and I want to be here with my family. And yes, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. But know this: if God calls, it's okay, because it's better. How many times have you stood at a funeral and looked into a casket and said, "They're better off than we are"? I mean, you wasn't just talking, you was telling the truth. If they was Christians, you could say, "They're better off than we are." That's what Apostle Paul was saying. Boy, it'd be better. So, in other words, why should I be afraid to die when it's better over there? Amen? Go back with me now to 2 Timothy. Verse number 6 of chapter 4. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered in the time of my departure's hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." He said, "I've got a lot of things to look forward to." He said, "I've got some things over there waiting on me." And he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, and having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Also Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him," only Luke was with me, excuse me, "and take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychus even I sent unto Epaphras." And he says, the cloak that I left at Troas and Carpius, when thou comest, bring them thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Now I'm going to skip on down. I want you to read verse number 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." You know what the Apostle Paul was saying? I'm ready to be delivered. I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to go. But he said, "I have also witnessed God Almighty standing with me when no one else would." And so the Apostle Paul was saying, you know what? Why should I fear death? He's going to continue to stand with me. It isn't the world and even our loved ones that's going to stand with us through death. They may be there and be a blessing, but it's Jesus that's going to go through you with it, through that death. Amen? And let me say to you, He's the only one that will. All your loved ones will be there and be a blessing and all of those things, but they cannot enter into death with you. But Jesus can. Amen? So why should I be afraid to die? You remember who Stephen saw when he was being stoned to death? Standing at the right hand of God, dying, being stoned. He saw Jesus Christ, his wonderful Savior, standing, waiting for him to come. Whew. Why should we be afraid to die? Stephen was not afraid to die. In fact, Stephen was asking God to forgive those who were stoning him. When David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me." There's a shadow of death out there, but you don't have to fear evil if you know Jesus. Amen? So why should we be afraid to die? Anxieties, yes. Maybe not wanting to go, yes. But it's okay if God calls. I also am not afraid to die because of those who are in heaven now. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verse number 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He said, "Do you know all those great cloud of witnesses that went on before us? Do you know there's multitudes that have already passed through what you and I are passing through now? You know the multitudes of people from the beginning of time that went through life and had to face death? They made it. Let me say for sure, those who received Christ as their personal Savior, they died with hope and knowing where they were going. And he says there's a great cloud of witnesses up there. It's been done before. You're not alone. Thank God for that. Amen. So he's saying to us, don't fear death. Look over in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and maybe this is the best reason out of all not to fear it. 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse 3 and 4. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Listen to verse 4 in chapter 22 of Revelation. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." We'll see the face of Jesus Christ. The reason that I'm not afraid to go to heaven, not die and go to heaven, is because Jesus is there. And he loved me so much, he went to the cross of Calvary to die for me and shed his blood that I might have eternal life. And why should I fear going to heaven when he's there? You see, the Bible tells us, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away sin. There's nothing else that can. Church membership can't wash it away. Baptism can't wash it away. Good works can't wash it away. It's the blood of Jesus. He says in 1 John, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Washes it away. None left. Colossians 1, he says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." It's the blood of Jesus. And you say, "Brother Ross, you seem so confident. Let me say something to you. I'm not confident in Bob Ross. I'm confident in Jesus Christ. That's where my confidence is at. If it was me, I'd be done for. But since it's Jesus, I don't have to fear death. You say, Brother Ross, can I have that? You sure can. Do you know he loved you just as much as he loves me? Did you know that he loves you as much as he loves any other individual in this room? Did you know he loves you as much as he loved any person who's ever lived on this earth? Do you know he loves you as much as he loved the Apostle Paul? He loves you just as much. He came to die for your sins and loves you so much, wants you to be saved. And you know what? Then you don't have to fear to die. It's all taken care of. The sin's all washed away. It's all right. Amen? So I say to you this morning, are you ready to die? Mamas, I usually say this on Mother's Day. If you're not a saved mother, the greatest gift that you can give your children and your family is to become a Christian. That's the greatest thing you can do for them. And I would say to you, if you should be here like that without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let this be the day when you're born into the family of God. If you're here as a daddy, if you're here as a child, make a difference who it is. If you're not saved, you need to come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid it all for you. And what a peace that passes all understanding comes into the heart when you know Jesus as your personal Savior and face God. With Jesus, you don't have to be. Amen? Let's pray. You bow your heads, please, and close your eyes, and I just want to ask a couple questions. Say, Brother Ross, I know without any shadow of a doubt that I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know I'm born again. I know I'm ready for heaven. I know that without any shadow of a doubt, because there's been a time in my life when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I'm saved, and I'm ready for heaven. All I'm asking you to do, please, is remember God knows us all. Amen. You say, I'm ready. Please raise your hand, please. Just indicate that by raising your hand. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. Say, Brother Ross, I could not raise my hand because I'm just not sure that I'm ready for heaven. I'm just not sure. But Brother Ross, I'm concerned. I would like to have that peace that you're talking about this morning. I'd like to be in a position where I would not be afraid to die.